What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, July 25th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
I have toppled Gary Witta and taken his place.
Witta Tuesday, Wednesday is dead. Long live Jared Wednesday and Witta Thursday.
Yeah, Witta Thursday. We just switched days.
Yeah, you guys, we just juggled things around. I forget, because we're doing
Gamescast tonight, so it was easier for me to just come up one day, because I'm doing Red Dead over at IGN tonight, so this way I could only have to do one day in this.
Who's on Red Dead this week?
This week's just JR and I going over. There's news about a new Red Dead guide. We're doing a PAX panel. We're doing a live episode at PAX.
Yeah,
so pretty excited about
Finally,
yeah, indeed.
Yeah, we can't wait.
Red Dead Radio Live.
Is it who's on the PAX panel?
Oh, I'm not revealing that.
Oh, yet. Okay. You're playing that one close to your guests.
It's a neat group of guests. I'm excited about it.
That's your opinion. We'll come. We'll pimp obviously PAX as we get closer to PAX. We're doing the kind of funny Intersight tournament for the Per Schneider Cup. There's another panel you have. I don't know if you've announced it. I don't want to say anything.
All right, cool.
Yeah, save for everything.
Now, that's
plenty of stuff.
Panel.
Plenty of stuff to promote, as always, with Kinda Funny. So let's just get to it. Today, you are watching Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Don't die, Jared.
I'll do my best.
Did it go down the wrong pipe?
I don't know. It just kind of hung in my throat there. And
Kevin, I need you on Heimlich standby. All right?
Ready. No, I'm definitely
all right,
not
thank you very much. Heimlich standby, Kevin.
Ready.
The idea of getting the Heimlich maneuver from Kevin
is going to be violent, and there's going to be some breaks, broken
live.
Ribs.
Just let me die. Just let me die.
All your questions, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then watch the show as we record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get it, thank you. If you are one of the dozens watching it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, remember, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for the thousands that watch on YouTube and listen on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Reminder, it's party mode week, which means not much, but we love party mode. It's the show we do over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We see the metrics. We know thousands of you, an overwhelming majority of you, listen to the shows as audio podcasts. We'd love it if you would just give us a little bit of a chance. Go over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch a party mode. Andy works really hard on them. There's awesome funny edits in it. Today, he just published a new one, Just Shapes and Beats. It is very funny, where I say a whole bunch of things and then Andy proves me wrong with clips from other party modes. So go over there, subscribe to the channel, like the video, share it with your friends.
It is superb entertainment. Those episodes are great.
Party mode's great.
Yeah.
I do feel like I've been lied to. Andy, as I was telling Nick earlier, Andy's always been like, oh, nobody wants party mode. I went through and watched look at the things. They got really good views. Andy's been lying to us.
Yeah.
Then a reminder, next week, I should say, is Kinda Funny Summer Break. No Kinda Funny Morning Show. No Kinda Funny Games Daily. We will be not off, but taking it slower. Obviously, we haven't taken a holiday off at all this year, including like Martin Luther King Day, 4th of July, all that crazy stuff. So we're taking the mornings off to get ahead on XCU and review, to get ahead on party modes, to get a whole bunch of things locked down before we head off to RTX, and then also have a summer full of Tim going to weddings. I'm going to a wedding. There's other events coming up. We're going to London.
I don't know. Crazy stuff. I don't know how I'm paying rent that month, Greg. I get that week. I know it's 1 week, but I get that email. And it's like no Kinda Funny next week.
Everybody go to patreon.com/JaredPetty. Take care of this man. Again, we don't pay him a lot of money. Go over there and pay the bills for him next week. That's all I got to do.
I'd like that very much.
And get a whole bunch of the other content he does, because he does a bunch of amazing stuff.
But I welcome it.
Pitch me a new show today that I want to figure out how I can steal. Today's sponsor is Hims and MeUndies, but I'll talk about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news!
But wait, a twist has arrived.
Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
And that's right, Jared, over. Now, this is an interactive show, as we like to say. You write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your questions, your comments, your concerns, bad PSN names, everything else under the video game sun, just like Remy did. Remy wrote in today and said, not a question, but an idea. I love it when Jared Petty is the main host and is not the second chair, but I also love it when Greg is the main host of the show. Would it be possible to do a show where Jared does the news with Greg piping in with reader questions and then Greg takes over for the ad reads and reader mail? Would be great to have them both be the main host of the show. Thanks.
All right, Remy, we will be a two-headed Etten
of
entertainment.
Get what you order, Remy. Jared, you take it away.
I am on our way. Number one, it's the Fortnite Rock Block. Lots of items here. We're going to go through them one by one. So much Fortnite happening. First, according to Superdata, Fortnite is cannibalizing games. What's that? Looking at additional content console sales, the following image emerges. Additional content sales, here defined as the combined total in-game sales for Sony PlayStation and Microsoft Xbox, were up 49% year-over-year compared with Q2 2017.
An amazing statistic! Up 49%! Video games are booming, everyone!
Except quarterly sales for, what's it, this is 2018 quarter two, were plus 1%. Compared to plus 7% for the same period last year. Removing revenue generated by Fortnite on console changes that picture considerably. Without Fortnite, additional content revenues in 2018, quarter two, declined 6% year over year. It's a Fortnite-powered economy, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God. Who would have guessed it that Fortnite is out there strictly killing it? All these stories we're about to read will tell you that Fortnite is killing it. But, yeah, wow.
Does it worry you?
No. I mean, yeah, we'll read the next part too before so we can close out A.
All right. Epic Games value skyrockets to eight.
Second paragraph in A.
Oh.
Look at that. I added that in there.
No, sorry about that.
It's fine.
Whoopsie. This is the part where I read the news and then I don't know what to do.
No, you're doing great.
In terms of online viewership, we're observing the following. In Q2, total hours watched were up 59% for Fortnite, compared with League of Legends down 19%, Counter-Strike GO down 51%, and Overwatch down 16%.
So not only is Fortnite inflating these numbers, like when you talk about, like, it's carrying the what add-on content sales to such a degree, right? You're comparing Q2 2017, it was up 49%, right? So yeah, you see this graph going up. Then Q2 2018, you see we're plus 1% compared to plus 7% for the same percent last year, right? Mm-hmm. So you see still growth on an already extraordinary number. But yeah, then to remove Fortnite, you see it tank
right
to being down 6% year over year.
What do you think about that?
I think it's one of those things that we spell out. And you're like, wow, that sounds crazy, but it isn't crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I definitely have noticed that my ability or desire to play anything else is affected by Fortnite, right? Like, yeah. I mean, I have that stupid game out with Destroyonauts. I want to platinum twice on PlayStation 4 and Vita. And that's only 15 minutes on one device, maybe 30, that I haven't had the desire to actually go into.
Last night,
here's how it went. I'll tell you right now, Jared, there's this game nobody's talking about. No one even knows about. Octopath Traveler.
Yeah.
Kidding. Everybody knows about it. We talk about it. I'm in love. The more I play that, the more I'm deeper in love with it. I am, right?
Delightful little ditty.
Came home last night. Jen caught my cold from Comic-Con, so she's sick on the couch. I'm going to sit there, rub her head in between, you know, loading screens. And I'm like, I'm going to play some Fortnite, and then I'll get to Octopath. And then 4 hours went by, and it was time for bed or whatever. And I was like, well, I played only Fortnite.
Yeah.
And it's because Fortnite just does such a great job of the carrot and the stick. I'm a little bit closer to this, I'm a little bit closer to that.
Yeah.
So to see, yeah, that they're the ones killing it in add-on sales. Of course, I just saw Lauren Beasley, one of the co-captains for Extra Life for Kinda Funny, mm-hmm, but plays Fortnite with Joey all the time. And I saw a tweet from her, you know, of like, oh, she got, I don't want to screw it up, she got the one skin she really wanted. She bought it. The only other skin she wants is, and then the next day that skin was up, and she's like, all right, I'm buying that again. You know what I mean? Like, she's putting in $20 a day on that 1 2-day period, right? You see that, and it's what Andrea and I talked a little bit about yesterday, right? In the fact that somebody was worried about stocks and if we had another bubble coming for the video game thing in terms of like the crazy success Activision, EA, Epic is seeing here in terms of stocks. And no, some of those are going to fall and then they're going to change and you're going to see in a minute. But it's a popular game that gets it right, that gets microtransactions right, where I bought the superhero. My thing is, I want to buy superhero costumes. I bought my superhero costume. Great. And then I'm earning the rest. Meanwhile, next to me, Nick is still playing no battle pass, but still obsessed with Fortnite and still wants to play Fortnite every job.
Fortnite deserves the success.
Yeah.
And I think that the question of whether the games economy and the economy in general is maybe being misrepresented by the stock market right now is a very separate one from whether or not Fortnite is doing well and legitimately doing well and deserves and will continue to succeed.
Yeah.
Fortnite's going to do well for a long time.
Right.
That's very clear. I also think there's some legitimacy to the idea that the bottom may be about to fall out of everything or already has fallen out. We just haven't noticed yet, which sounds weird, but actually happens in economics a lot.
Sure.
I'm going to throw a historical anecdote at
please
you
do
and see if you think it's applicable. simplified version of this. Long time ago, Spain conquered a good portion of the Americas and became a world power, largely by stealing gold and silver and resources from the Americas, bringing it back to Spain. Well, the thing about transporting gold and silver across the sea is that sooner or later, other people figure out you're doing it.
Pirates.
Yeah, pirates. And then one year, a bunch of English corsairs come along and they sink or capture a good portion of the Royal Spanish treasure fleet. Without the gold arriving home, the Spanish economy literally just collapses overnight because this one factor in all the vast economy of that empire has gotten yanked out.
Yeah.
When Fortnite's popularity does decline,
yeah,
do you think that that kind of situation is applicable and everything will follow? Or do you think it will decline because something else has risen up in its place?
Something else.
Sure. You would think something else. Kevin from the press pool yelling out something else, right? I mean, I think it's, we lose sight of this often, right? Yesterday, they launched the new patch for Fortnite, which celebrates its one year. Mm-hmm. It's 1 year anniversary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about that. It's been a year. And a year ago on this show, what did we talk about all the time? Holy shit, Andrea, PUBG just broke a new record the next day. Danny, can you believe that PUBG just broke a new concurrent record on Steam? That's how quickly the industry can change. And you can have a game that I think launched to no fanfare. Oh, Fortnite's finally out. We don't care. Hey, we're copying Battle Royale. Everybody's on board, and to the point that it is a worldwide phenomenon that you can't get away from right now. I think that when Fortnite's popularity inevitably declines, it'll be something else coming up. I don't know if it'll be another Battle Royale game. I don't know if it'll be this. I don't know what'll come in to peel people away, but it's what we've talked about personally. It's what the shows have talked about personally, is that there's only so much bandwidth for games in general, let alone games of service.
Yep.
And this is, you know, I mean, to see here on the Twitch numbers, right? Like League of Legends down 19, right? Counter-Strike Go, Overwatch, it's not on there, but Dota. I remember when all these games were, holy fucking shit, are you watching this? Yep. Are you playing this? Are you seeing this? This is what it's all about. And that's just how our market goes, is that things have their moment in the sun and then come on and go out.
Yeah, I think we're in for a service apocalypse, but not the spectacular explosion, the popping bubble everybody's expecting. I think that everybody is simultaneously producing the same product, and there's simply not enough money and not enough players to go every way, and a lot of very expensive products are about to fail.
Do you feel that? I think it's going to be kind of it's what you're talking about, and I think kind of like a death by a thousand cuts, where we're going to get to some end of the road, like at the end of a year wrap up, and look back and be like, oh man, there's a lot of bodies here in the wake that nobody caught because they launched this thing and immediately failed. They launched, you know, and I hope not because I love the game. Well, this will be next year, but Division 2 launches next year and it has a quick moment and then fizzles out. You know what I mean?
Like, because there are several of those.
I think it'll be that thing of, you'll see them in case examples, we'll reference them, but it won't be until you actually like list out, hey, since Fortnite had a runaway success, here's everything you've seen change.
I think if Monster Hunter, as we're playing it a few months ago, had come out 2 years ago, we might still be playing it.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, sure.
100%.
And I think it's already a casualty of this market.
100%. I mean, you saw Capcom change their outlook.
Undeserved casualty.
Is it a casualty?
I'm sorry. I have Kevin Coelho from the press pool, I believe, representing kindoffunny.com.
I just wanted to ask, was it a casualty? Wasn't it a success? It just didn't, wasn't as long as expected?
Yeah, and that was the thing. Yeah. Then they readjust their expectations on it, right? I forget who it was that, like, it affected their stock price that, okay, cool, this isn't having the lasting effect we thought it was. Now, granted, PC might bring people back around, get them back excited.
But do understand that when you use the term readjusting expectations when it comes to video games, that's failure. I'm not talking about failure as creating a great product. I'm talking about in the eyes of investors and in the eyes of people within the company who don't want to admit or use that word failure. You're not supposed to talk negatively inside companies about things you've done. There's always, you never want to say no. You got, you know, you're looking forward. There's always hope. But when that word gets used, that is code for this did not do as well as we thought it was going to. And that is a business definition of failure.
Sure.
And
it sucks,
that.
Like you said, because Monster Hunter World's fucking fantastic. Yep. You know what I mean? I love that goddamn game.
Yes. It is a success in my heart. It is a success with fans. It is a financial success. And it disappointed their investors.
Kevin,
those things are ultra.
You said better than Fortnite, Monster Hunter World.
No, I said it's not.
Not better than Fortnite. I couldn't understand that.
I loved Monster Hunter World. Definitely going to be in conversation for, like, was it my game of the year?
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying Fortnite more.
Do you think, is Fortnite in the conversation for your game of the year?
I think it might be. Yeah. Which is another one of those weird situations.
I was having this conversation with myself last night because that's what I do. I podcast in my head a lot. It was the conversation. That's why I'm top of the charts. You know what I mean? It was this conversation of when I first talked about getting obsessed with Fortnite.
Yeah.
I was like, not that it'll be my game of the year. And then last night when I couldn't stop playing it to go to another legitimate, I think one of my favorite games of the year contender, Octopath. Yeah. It was like, fuck, how am I going to be able to, let's say tomorrow is game of the year voting.
Yeah.
Can I really sit there and be like, I loved God of War front to back and think it's a masterpiece and all these amazing things and ignore the fact that I'm obsessed with Fortnite? And it's like,
you don't have to ignore the fact. Just understand that I think that sometimes we confuse compulsion and greatness.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I hear you. And that's what I'm saying is don't get me wrong. I'm not saying.
Yeah.
It's a runaway. It's one of these things. It's going to come down to very much similar to what we're talking about with E3 Game of the Show. How do you define Game of the Year?
Well, Fortnite is great the way that poker is great.
Mm-hmm.
A game of elegance that you never get tired of playing, that is tremendously compulsive, extraordinarily deep, beautifully varied, and a lot of fun with friends. God of War is beautiful the way Van Gogh is great.
Sure.
Like, it's that kind of greatness.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to ultimately be a matter of if you're talking about the intersection of those different kinds of art and fun and the rest of that, and you're going to have to make that decision. I do think that while we should be talking about Fortnite as Game of the Year, if you end up switching from God of War to Fortnite at the end of this year, or thinking about it seriously, I'm going to strap you into a chair like Clockwork Orange with your eyeballs peeled open and make you play God of War over again so that you can step away from the dark wood of error.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I hear you.
Yeah, no, watch. I'll be arguing for Celeste in December. number two, or pardon me, B. That's right. We're not even number two. We talked a long time here. I can get the show moving on.
No, we're having fun. It's a good discussion show.
Epic Games value skyrockets to $8 billion. Dollars on the back of Fortnite's success. This is from Brian Bell at Big Twinfinite.
God damn it, Twinfinite. But also, hey, shout out to Brian Bell, longtime supporter of Kinda Funny and Greg Miller.
Epic Games' wildly successful title, Fortnite, is currently in the midst of its first birthday celebration. While players are uncovering birthday cakes within the game, the crew at Epic are blowing out billion-dollar candles thanks to the title's surge in popularity. $8 billion, to be precise. A Bloomberg analysis currently values Epic Games somewhere between $5 billion and $8 billion on its Billionaires Index, an exponential increase from the company's $825 million valuation in 2012. I can't fathom $8 billion.
No, not at all.
My mind can't wrap around that.
I can't. I mean, like, even, let's take away just the $1 billion. Like, keep that. You know that this game has been incredibly successful. I can't fathom being at Epic, being Nick Chester, being PR, being Donald Mustard, being like walking around and seeing this stuff. Fortnite everywhere. Yesterday they announced they're doing Spirit Halloween costumes for Fortnite, right? Like, it's like in stores, you'll be able to dress up. And to sit there and like, it's not just a popular video game, right? Like, I sit there and, with God of War, an example, see Corey retweeting fan art, to see him getting to go do panels with Jordan Vogt Roberts, right? To see like the success, it's like awesome. And I see him living that dream. But like, this is so far and beyond what could have been any of their hopes and dreams for doing this.
Yeah.
They must have been like, well, cool, add in Battle Royale. I mean, first off, in development hell forever, you finally get it out. All right, well, fuck. Well, we like it. Well, let's put it in there. Maybe it'll help us out. Maybe it'll help us make turn this profitable.
Yeah.
And then to be there a year later and be like, we're the biggest fucking video game on the planet.
Yeah. That's great. And
oh, it's great. Yeah, no.
Well deserved, but yes, it is weird. It's surprising. And it's great that it's surprising. We love those kinds of stories.
Yeah. You know,
We have dreams. We want them to come true. We make something as good as we can, and then we hope it's what people want.
Yeah.
And I really, really love that a team that is doing it right, and I don't want to just be lavish here, but Fortnite is the least greedy, successful video game ever.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And to see it succeed makes me so happy.
Right.
Part three of ye old Fortnite rock block. Yet more Fortnite. New Fortnite.
Three of three.
Sniper rifle might shoot through walls. This is from Nick Santale. Oh, I think I said this wrong. Santangelo.
Santangelo is what I would say.
Santangelo.
Well, I don't know if that's right.
I don't either.
Who knows? We knew anybody at IGN.
Jonathan Dornbush, Andrew Goldfarb, let us know how to say Nick's name right so we can say it correctly. Being behind cover may no longer be sufficient protection for Fortnite players if a new leak is accurate.
Woo! Let's hope so!
Various Fortnite leakers are reporting a data mine showing a new weapon called the Heavy Sniper Rifle that can shoot through walls in its way. Powerful and accurate rifle with a bolt-action mechanism with an extremely slow reload, reads the weapon's description on Storm Shield 1. Shots pierce through the first wall it hits. Twitter's Fortnite Battle Royale leaks tweeted the rifle's sound effects and a look at the rifle's coating, revealing it to be a Barrett 50 caliber sniper rifle. Fun fact, the weapon Charlie Sheen wields in the classic Navy SEALs, where he plays the character God. Shots pierce. Oh, pardon me. Meanwhile, Die Buddies tweeted out of the official item image. The rifle is said to be a legendary item that fires heavy bullets. And while Epic Games has yet to announce a heavy sniper rifle, there's a chance it'll be released during next week's content update.
Okay.
You checking in on the name?
We're calling Andrew Goldfarb again. Make sure. Andrew Goldfarb, it's Greg Miller. You're on Kind of Funny Games Daily with Jared Petty. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, we read Nick Santangelo's story about the Fortnite rifle, and we were wondering, are we saying his last name correctly? Santangelo.
Oh, I mean, I assume so. I actually don't know. I haven't met Nick yet.
Hold on. Jared, what was your pronunciation?
I said Santangelo.
That's really wrong.
Yeah, I think
Andrew, I feel like it's probably not that, I'm going to be honest with you.
Goldfarb, you don't know how to pronounce your own employee's name?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he's one of our newer guys. He seems to be doing great so far.
What a deadbeat boss. What a deadbeat boss.
New guys?
I'm like the worst, I know.
He works for you. How do you not know how to say his name?
All right, you know, we do a lot of communication via email, Jared. I'm sorry that I don't read everything out loud.
Goldfarb, here's what I want you to know. I didn't realize that Jared was going to be so rude to you. I'd like you to march over to the features editors, because you know he does, Jared Petty does a lot of freelance work for you. Tell them to cancel all his contracts.
Oh, please.
Tell him that it's over for him. He's a rude man.
Okay.
All right.
I'll let them know right now.
All right. Thank you.
I'll have to reach in for that big IGN news money now.
Ah, what a guy.
There we go. All right. Love that dude. But yeah, a rifle that shoots through walls. Barrett 50 caliber. What do you think?
All right. I'm terrible at sniper rifles.
Okay.
I got that. I still have the season challenge on there, right? Or whatever.
I fucking hate that.
Is it week one? Two? Week two?
I think it's week two. Week one is the
grenades. Yeah. I hate that one too.
I have two of the grenades and one of the sniper. And it took me days.
Yeah.
Days I've been trying.
Would this one get you excited? Because I mean, like, I don't. Yes. It doesn't sound like it's got like a heat signature scope.
You're blind. But it's fun. Like, you know, when you're standing, let's say you're doing 50v50, and you've got the other team building their giant fortress. Your team is building giant fortress, and you're sitting with a sniper there. There's so many times
where you see them moving.
Yeah, you see them moving, you see the wall like building.
Yeah.
And like they're standing there, and you're like, I can't get the shot, so I have to break down the wall. And this is a fucking bolt action.
There you go.
There we go.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of guns that can shoot around corners and that kind of thing.
Sure.
Like, I love that gimmick.
In
games and fiction, honestly.
Yeah.
So this is actually really rad. I'm sure I'd be terrible with it, but
I'll be awful with it. Yeah. Last night I kind of gave up on shotguns too. I lost a head to head battle right there, and I'm just like, I feel like if I just would have used my submachine gun, nope. I'm about getting the bullets off more than about the damage.
Would you be willing, if you wanted to get good at sniper rifles? And I could be wrong about this, but would you be willing to try PC so that you could aim with
under,
a mouse?
Under no circumstance.
Because I think that might be
worth. Well, I mean, that just wouldn't help me, because then I'd go back to console and I'd be like, well, no, I don't know how to do this anymore. You know what I mean? What I need to do is suck it up and get out there with sniper. Well, this is enough Fortnite. People hate Fortnite sometimes.
All right. Well, we're going to move on then.
Good.
Next update. Number two on the Roper Report. Next update sees No Man's Sky return to Steam's concurrent players top 10. Once again, to Infinite. This one's not
what a surprise. Big to Infinite money over here.
You got that big to Infinite money. That's right. But yeah. So yesterday saw the release of No Man's Sky's next update, and it seems as though it's made plenty of players curious enough to jump back in. Hello Games title returned to the Steam concurrent player charts, peaking at 8th place. Yesterday's concurrent figure is the highest it's been since No Man's Sky launched back in August 2016, when it hit a massive 212,321 players during the first week. Last night it hit 41,861,
nice.
Which is more than double that of the previous second highest monthly figure. What do you think about that, Greg?
I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it since this. I think that this is just such a success story for them. You know what I mean? Of literally being knocked down as hard as you can, embarrassing yourself in your studio on the grandest stage. You know what I mean? The way public opinion swung on them, whether it be justified or not, right? Like, I was one of the many people who was like, I feel like they're down for the count here. I don't think Hello Games gets up. I don't know if you can ever make another game. I don't know what it was. And then, and I'm beating a dead horse here if you listen to Games Daily every day. You know, then they went quiet, which I thought was the wrong move. And it turned out they went quiet because they were working and they didn't want to just talk anymore. They wanted to let their work stand on its own and speak for itself. And so for them to come out and release this and have people last night into today tweeting about it. I saw Alana Pierce today tweeting about it. You know, she tried the survival thing, died out there. She wants to play more. I saw Major Nelson tweeting about it. I saw plenty of people out there like actually getting back into this and giving it a shot. And I think that's awesome. You know what I mean? I think we talk in a lot of different respects, forgiveness and second chances and all these things. And at no point with the No Man's Sky stuff, you know, knowing, and I mean in a cursory fashion, knowing Sean Murray the way I do from demos and stuff, did I ever think their goal was to dupe people and get their money and be like villains and twist their mustache and run away back to England.
That's not sure.
And so for them to get here and be able to deliver on their promises and be able to come out of hiding and be able to have good news again, I think it really speaks to the dedication that team has in that game.
As the Bard said, I get knocked down, but I get up again. Ain't never going to keep me down.
It's true. Pissing the night away.
That's right. So that's exciting there. I'll probably, I'm finishing up some work this weekend, but I think maybe Monday. I think I'm going
to
jump back
in. I'd love to hear impressions of it. I'd love to
jump
it.
Back in early next week. So
I also might jump back in. And I'm very excited.
Yay! I like that game. I liked it even in its old crappy version.
Yeah, no, Kevin and I did too.
Number three, Valve launches new Discord-like Steam chat update. This by Jake Green at US Gamer. Valve has just launched a new Steam chat update for all users. It clearly takes a lot of inspiration from Discord, allowing easy group chat and seamless transition between voice and video functions. The UI redesign has been in beta since June, allowing select users to try out the new features. Now, though, it's available to everyone with a Steam account and definitely looks to be a big overhaul. Thanks to a more robust chat system, users can now post GIFs, video, social links, and pictures easily, something which was an absolute nightmare before the update. Over the last couple of years, Discord has become the default chat program platform for gamers, though it looks like Valve is definitely trying to win people back to the Steam platform. Greg Miller, is this the Instagram story to Discord Snapchat?
Ooh, look at you. Now I'll put it out there to begin with. We are talking about two communities that I barely and rarely touch.
Okay.
My knee-jerk reaction would be no. I think the fact that Discord covers everything matters, right? Like for me, it was when I fell down the rabbit hole of Destiny 2, I popped over to the Kind of Funny fan run Discord, right? I think it's kind of funny. Joey, kindoffunny.com/Discord? kindoffunny.com/discord, where, you know, we are rarely there. It's just run by the community, and I popped in and then found out about the Kind of Funny Guardians channel and jumped into that and played with them and talked with them. And when we when we play the multiplayer games here online, like Friday the 13th and stuff like that, we run it through Discord, you know what I mean, jumping in there. But I'm playing that through PS4, right? And I think when Kevin and I were initially, what were we playing, Kev? Was it Monster Hunter or something else?
No, I thought it was Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto, we were using Discord as well. Yeah. So we were using it off our phones. And I think it's a great thing. It's a great program. But it falls in that camp of, even though I'm playing a lot of multiplayer games more than ever, I still am not a big chatter, right? Okay. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think Switch works really well for us because we're all here in the office. And then when we go home, it's that thing of, even then, it's like, Kevin will invite me. And I'm like, I just want to sit here in the quiet and do this. And it's not going to be a good experience if we jump together and squat up and I can't talk to him. So I would say that, no, I don't think this is going to... This isn't Instagram stories putting down Snapchat, right? Because that was a knockout pretty much.
Yeah.
I think that this is going to probably be great for Steam users. I would assume. I don't know, understand if Steam people don't like that. And why, but I'm, again, not well enough versed in either program.
No, I tend to concur because of Discord's ubiquity and the fact that it serves many platforms. I think this is definitely going to be useful, and I'm definitely going to check it out because I don't play online on Steam much, but I do play on Steam a lot. So I really want to familiarize myself more with this. Also, as an aside, I never cease to be impressed by your Steel Trap memory. When you're pulling out like Kind of Funny Games / Discord, when you list off at the beginning of the show, I just always flash to Arnold going, I have detailed files. Like, it's it's a little bit of that.
Really, a lot of it's just guessing, because usually it's what you think it should be.
Do you just make up URLs sometimes?
Totally. Okay. When we were leading into Comic-Con, I was like, kindoffunny.com/Comic-Con. It's kindoffunny.com/SDCC. Okay. I was like, well, whatever. They'll figure it out at this point.
Just a living bit.ly. Number four, The Netherlands and Loot Boxes by Aaron Greenbaum. Guess where this one's from, Greg?
Twinfinite.
That's
How much are they paying you, Petty?
You know what? I've never gotten money for. I really need to write an article for Twinfinite. So
that'd
I can
be awesome.
Cash in on this.
There you go.
Yeah, give me a call.
Bring the collusion full circle.
All right, here we go. Ever since the Star Wars Battlefront II loot box debacle, many countries have declared war on the purveyors of loot boxes as they are seen as a form of illegal gambling. In effect, a disappointingly sizable number of loot boxes are in violation of the gambling laws of various countries, including the Netherlands. One company's found a way around those laws that is as clever as it is insidious.
Ooh.
Oh, and Aaron Greenbaum laying down the adjectives. According to a Reddit user by the name of Larf, Dutch gamers now know what they can expect from a Dota 2 loot box before purchasing. Additionally, players can no longer buy multiple boxes. They are limited to opening one at a time, which ties into the whole insidiousness of the new system. While Dutch players know what they're getting before they open the box, Larf points out Valve's new system doesn't exactly get rid of the loot box's element of chance that drew so much ire in the first place. Rewards are still randomly generated, and even though Dutch players know what's inside each loot box, they only get to see so far into the future. Even if they don't like the item they know they'll receive in one loot box, they don't know if the next one will contain anything better or rarer until they open the first loot box.
Okay.
According to Larf, even though loot boxes are still up to chance, they no longer violate Dutch gambling laws on the technicality that gamers now know what the chance is. It's like buying a lottery ticket, even though you realize it will not win any money, but you don't know if the next ticket you purchase will pay out unless you buy the first ticket.
Oh, that's weird.
This development makes you wonder about the definition of gambling. Does it only apply to the odds of an event in the immediate future, or can it pertain to a chain of events? Does foreknowledge of an outcome have any effect on the gambling classification if you can only see one result at a time? Little editorializing on the news there, but I like it.
So
I picked this one out because I thought this was really darn interesting.
Sure. Again, last year, this is the hot button topic, right? Loot boxes and what do they mean? And then to see, the Netherlands trying to tackle it, but right now, not being outfoxed, but all right, cool. You think you've solved it and you haven't. Here's the issue that you now have with this as we, again, try to wrestle with this in a way that makes sense for people.
Yeah. Do you regard it as gambling? What are your thoughts on that?
No, I don't. We've argued about this before, not you and me, but in general, where I think that I for me, loot boxes are a capsule machine.
Okay.
Where I go up to the supermarket, I see that they have all the Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman keychains in there, and I want the Superman one. I know it's in there, and I put my quarter in and, you know, crank it, and what do I get? A Batman. Like, I know that I still have the shot of it. I know what that is. Obviously, this is, we're playing fast and loose, because some loot boxes, what the fuck's in it? Is it just a, you know, blah, 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 cosmetic items, this thing and the other. I like the way Fortnite does it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like being able to say, oh, I want that. I want that costume. I'll pay you for that thing, right? Like, that was the thing with Destiny of like, okay, cool. Like, let me just buy these fucking shaders. I love looking this black. I love this black and gold shader I have. Let me just buy it from you and give you money to be done with it. But gambling, I've always thought it's a bridge too far. But we've on this show and throughout the, you know, more a year plus now of doing the show, we've definitely had this conversation with you, the community, of what what defines gambling and this, that, and the other, and where it falls one way or the other. I think that it's an issue, and I just mainly, I understand parents wanting to protect their kids and their wallets, right? I had a friend whose son got into Fortnite and spent $200, right? Like, they were not cool with that. But it's like, there is part of the parental responsibility there, but there is, what is the game and what are the safeguards in this? It's such an onion. The entire argument of loot boxes and cosmetic items and microtransactions, and everyone is a unique situation.
It is.
What do you think? Do you think loot boxes are gambling?
When it comes to this situation, I feel like somebody has made a real effort to thwart the spirit of the law, perhaps. I am not an expert on Dutch law.
Sure.
And I'm still digesting this.
Yeah.
I haven't decided when it comes to this issue what I think yet. It does seem an effort to circumvent what's clearly understood as, in that country, gambling.
Yeah.
They've come down on that. That appears apparent that they regard this as gambling. Using, you know, what if I used to turn the thing on the machine and I would see 10 things and know what I was about to get if I put my coin in. And now I only see one thing if I put my coin in.
That's a good point.
That does seem subversive to what the law was intended to do.
Yeah.
And that troubles me some. Also, I love that we're talking about egg machines. I'm just flashing to one of my favorite Steven Universe episodes and very happy about that.
I was thinking about you at Comic-Con. There was a big Steven Universe activation on the floor.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Greg, that show's gotten even better in the last few weeks. There's a movie.
It's ending soon. Isn't it ending though?
Huh?
Isn't the show ending soon?
I don't know for sure. Now there's a movie coming, so I'm not sure anymore. Really excited, but I do think that this is fascinating stuff, and I think that this is pretty clearly kind of shady. But Greg, that's about loot boxes.
Okay.
We're talking about games.
Sure.
Let's talk about games that we love to play right now.
Okay.
Games that we might want to play today. If I wanted to play a game right now that I hadn't played before.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know about it, where would I look?
You'd look at the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Oh, I like when we all, yeah. Out today, Candle, the Power of the Flame. I feel like I'm talking about this game every fucking day. It's on Xbox One. Remothered, Tormented Fathers comes to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And then Super Blackjack Battle 2 Turbo Edition, The Card Warriors, comes to Xbox One.
It's weird being here on Wednesday.
Right.
Where's my Switch list? Where's
I know,
my
right?
44 Switch games?
We have started a new policy here, you know, where we guess what a game is.
Oh,
and then we look at a trailer. I thought so. I think Remothered, Tormented Fathers is a pretty great guess.
Okay.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Give me your pitch for it.
Okay, so Remothered, Tormented Fathers.
Kevin, I'll need you to find this trailer.
Remothered, Tormented Fathers is a itchy, like hentai style visual novel game where you are, where you're a tormented father that is endeavoring to form a harem of various mothers from the neighborhood and date them in order to eventually produce progeny with them and conquer your local prefecture.
2D Remothered, Tormented Fathers is a 2D side scroller where the father is being chased by the reanimated mother.
Oh, well, I think that's a better game.
Kevin, please show me the trailer for Remothered, Tormented Fathers on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And here we go.
All right, here it comes. It's gonna play.
All right. Oh, we got a ghost. We have
thing flying through space.
Right. All right.
All right. What do you got here? It's kind of like. Is that
oh no! It's a woman on a swing. Then we got some. We got some bees.
There's a bee there. There's some sparks.
Oh really? The people driving right now can see it, Kevin.
Yeah, they can see it.
Yeah. All right, fucking right jackass.
Oh.
Okay.
It's by Daryl Arson.
Storm Mind Games.
Man, there's some bees. I don't like these
bees. It's definitely a horror game.
Oh, is she like killed by the bees?
Is that Jodie Foster?
That's definitely Jodie Foster.
What's going on here?
There's no way Jodie Foster's this game, right?
That lady's got a weird hat.
Old lady talking about the window.
Wait, are those bees or moths? Those might be moths.
Looks like survival horror. Wow, he's got some nose hair going on there. Some,
I don't know, right? Oh, somebody's getting choked.
She's getting choked.
Okay. So now, wow.
This looks like the father is tormenting the mother.
Yeah, I'm really not sure what's going on. Oh, there's a hammer. Oh.
Jennifer. Okay, it's survival horror. It's survival horror around the house. All right, so, yeah, it looks like Resident Evil.
I get queasy around, like, I lived in a neighborhood once where somebody beat their mother to death with a hammer.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Fucking Kentucky, am I right?
No, actually, this was overseas.
Yeah. In Japan?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. All right, cool. It's survival horror. It looks really fucking weird.
That was the rumor. There was an arrest in our little town, and it was really quiet because generally crime's very quiet there. But the story was that a guy had beaten his mother to death with a hammer.
That was a rumor, right?
Well, I mean, somebody was definitely arrested.
Kevin, do me a favor. Google Japan, woman beaten with a hammer. I bet we'll find this story.
This was years ago.
But I'm kidding. We won't find it. New dates for you. Pendula Swing hits Steam on August 15th. Fractured Lands comes to PC Early Access July 31st. Salt and... Coffin.
Salt and Cough?
Salt and Sanctuary slashes onto the Nintendo Switch on August 2nd. Oh. Bow to Blood PSVR comes out on August 28th.
Wait, is that Bow to Blood or Bow to Blood?
Bow to Blood, you're right.
Well, I know,
it could be either way, right? I think Bow to Blood makes more sense, doesn't
it? I think
it
does, too, but I'm just wondering what it is.
They've announced that Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice VR Edition is coming July 31st to Oculus Rift and HTC Vive on Steam. And if you buy Hellblade on Steam, the VR Edition is included for free, because, of course, those people are amazing. Huh, would you look at that?
Yeah.
Deals of the day for you. Yi's Memory of Celsita, right?
Yeah. PC.
Yeah, it's on PC.
Yeah.
Is available for purchase right now with a week-long 10% discount off its regular price of €24.99/€24/19.99 upside down L. Which one's pounds? Yeah, that's right. It's euros and pounds. Okay.
Now I just got that Ease music running through my head.
How's it go?
Oh, which one? Like that?
You tell me. What's running through your head, man? What's in your head right now?
Oh, it's so good. E's music is amazing. They have great music.
How amazing?
Like best video game music in the universe. Amazing. They like, if you're gonna look at the whole body of E's games,
yeah,
and be like, hey, across like this franchise or across, it may have the best franchise music ever.
Huh.
Like Mario level greatness of franchise music.
That's a pretty tall.
Yeah, I know, but it's I don't think I'm exaggerating here. They have an incredible body of music.
Bold statement.
I bring some of my I have like weird ECDs. I'll bring them in.
Okay. It's time for reader mail, but first I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. First, it's Hims. There's a problem. 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35, and the thing is, once you notice, it's too late. Indeed. Do something now with 4hims.com. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for skincare, hair loss, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. You get well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. It's prescription science backed, or prescription solutions backed by science. In the other room, Nick and Andy are both using this. They signed up. They said it was easy. They take some photos of their hair, send it off. Doctors recommend stuff. They get it. And now they're both eating gummies that apparently will help get their hair to stick around a little bit longer.
Gummies?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I know. Order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. forhims.com/gamesdaily. Next up, MeUndies. I don't know how many times I got to say it. MeUndies are fantastic. I ordered you order online. You get crazy patterns. You pick the kind of underwear you want. They send them to you. You try them on, you say these are the softest, best undies I've ever had, and then like me, you throw away all your other undies. This is, I tell you right now, I paid for these undies, and then I paid for more of them when I threw away the other undies. I love my Mies undies. Everybody knows this. Kevin, do I like my Mies undies?
Yeah. He loves it. Put your most precious parts in the world's most sensuous hammock.
Exactly. You can get incredible underwear sent to your door with MeUndies, meaning no more hunting around for the perfect pair at a crowded store and eventually settling on good enough. And if you've listened to me before and you're already part of the MeUndies fam, tell your friends about it through their referral program. They'll get a discount and you'll get store credit. It's win-win. Still not sure? Well, MeUndies has a deal for my listeners. First-time purchasers get 15% off their first pair of MeUndies and free shipping, and if you don't like it, they'll give you your money back. That's 15% off, plus free shipping, and a guarantee that you will love your MeUndies. Get your butt over to MeUndies.com and treat yourself. Get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily.
It's underwear worth running up the flagpole.
That's good. They should hire. That's what you should do. I mean, you're good at this too, but you should just come up with catchphrases for like companies. That. Really?
Yeah. When I worked at EA, that was a part of my job.
Definitely. Well, now it's time for you to answer for your crimes. Billy the Door writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Jared, yesterday on the Kind of Funny Gamescast, you called Diddy Kong, quote, gaming's unforgivable sin. Expound. That's all. P.S. I don't mean to put you on blast. I'm just genuinely curious.
No, expound is
Diddy Kong, gaming's unforgivable sin.
Yeah, I loathe Diddy Kong.
Why?
Because he's got guns that shoot in spurts and they're gonna hurt. He's just this rubbery, awful, generic thing that was created because Rare wanted to redesign Donkey Kong Jr. and make him more hip and for the kids.
Yeah,
and Nintendo's like, no, that's dumb. And so, like, if you want to use him, you have to rename him and make him your own character because Donkey Kong Jr. we already have an established identity for. And so, like, well, fine, we will. And I just don't think that I need a rubbery dude with tude in my Donkey Kong universe. He was the beginning of that whole, you know, after him, we had Donkey Kong character spinoffs and, hey, Cranky, he's old. And, hey, that, you know, and on and on and on. We got,
who's the new guy with the surfboard and the sunglasses they just put in?
Stupid Kong.
No, the one they just put in.
I know.
Everybody loved him.
Yeah.
Tam!
I don't need a Donkey Kong family. No,
you're just against the Donkey Kong family. You don't like this lineage going.
You know, it's kind of like when Baby Mario stopped being Baby Mario and kind of became his own character. Like, remember that? Or likewise, Bowser Jr. Remember when Bowser Jr. was just younger Bowser?
Yeah.
And that's how he was created. He was just Bowser when Bowser was younger. And it's like, nah, now he's he exists in the same universe as Bowser, and that's weird. And they're like, oh, we have to have this other kid. He's got a stupid hat and a cutoff shirt, and he's like, I'm a monkey. And everybody insists that his stupid kart racing game is the best one ever because it's been so long since they played it that they've forgotten that it's yet another overrated, mediocre, Rare game. And I just don't have any love for it. Forget love. I loathe that character.
Wow.
I think that Tim's talked about Donkey Kong Country 2 being better than Donkey Kong Country, and I think he's right.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it's even more Diddy-centric...
It loses points for you right away.
I just hate that character. I hate him. Okay. I just want to pop his little eyes out.
Jesus Christ, you want to murder Diddy Kong.
I want to pop his eyes out and rip his mouth open and just erase him from existence.
Yes! Do it!
Kevin encouraging the bloodlust.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Diddy Kong, I it's like Waluigi. Like, fine, he's there.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
Waluigi's pretty funny.
Waluigi had to happen. Once you had Wario, you had to have Waluigi because of the pun.
Sure.
You just had to.
Have they done the Wah, like, princesses yet or anything? Do we have a Daisy Wah, Princess Peach Wah?
No, I figure they're probably inevitable, right?
Yeah, of course.
But Waluigi was created by Camelot, not Nintendo. And I think there's something about, probably this is my old school console wars heart, something about Sonic software planning creating an obnoxious one-dimensional Mario character and him enduring for so long.
Yeah.
And I've had people argue, well, now he likes roses. Well, fine, so do I, but I'm not a Nintendo character. You know,
you could be.
I would love to be a Nintendo character. That's true. Oh, wait, do we have... Oh, these are fan art.
Okay. Yeah, we've done some fan art.
I don't know if you want to bring up...
Yeah, I don't know if you want to start going into the fan art thing.
No,
I
was just showing you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to be real careful about this.
Poison Totem.
Nick!
Yeah.
I hear Nick... Or was that Andy laughing?
No, Nick leaving. Where are you guys going to go eat?
Get Tim. I need Tim.
Oh, wait.
I yelled for Tim.
Nick, bring me food. I'm hungry.
Tim!
Nick, what are you having for lunch?
Tim! What? Why can't I remember? What is the fucking cool Kong they added to the latest Donkey Kong? Funky Kong. There it is.
Funky Kong.
Yeah. Jared just described how he brutally wants to murder Diddy Kong.
Conversation.
It's fucked up, man.
He's kind of, if he weren't so rubbery, he'd be puppety, but if I
before it gets even more violent. Derek Derek, and then parentheses, D legendary one, writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, read the rumor of Microsoft and their cloud-based Scarlet console. Why do people think cloud gaming will work? There's no way information can travel between servers and consoles fast enough when there's so much distance between them. That's like expecting you can travel 200 miles in 1 hour, but going at the speed of 20 miles per hour. It's impossible. Distance always creates lag. Always. This is why PS Now hasn't taken off. Even if you make parts of the game local, there will still be lag because of the cloud component. And we all agree lag is horrible for fast-paced gaming. Why does Sony and allegedly Microsoft keep pushing this? Am I missing something? Is everything I learned in physics complete bullshit? Does Sony and Microsoft think we're really that clueless? Maybe they're trying to slowly converting everyone to a world of required online gaming, but that alienates people with slow internet. It just doesn't make sense to me. What do you guys think? Would love to hear Kev's take too, being the tech guy. Thanks for all you do, Derek, a.k.a. D-Legendary One. That's a zero, not no, smiley emoticon.
Okay, so I agree with almost everything he said, except the statement that distance always creates lag.
Okay.
Distance has always created lag, but when we're talking about the speed at which light and electricity can travel on an optimized network, sooner or later, we will overcome distance problems. It is not inherent that distance must create lag. It just always has up to this point in our experience. Sure. You build the right infrastructure backbone, and that becomes a different, entirely different problem.
Okay.
This is a solvable issue. Combine that with increases to the way data efficiency can work, compression, localized information, stuff like that. And I absolutely believe this is not only possible, but inevitable. I think that this can and will happen, and probably sooner than we're imagining.
Science with Kev. Kev, do you agree with everything Jared said?
I do. I think just because something has always been an issue doesn't mean it always will remain an issue.
Yeah. What PS Now has really been about and what Xbox Game Pass has really been about. It's similar to what they're doing with PlayStation VR, or say they're doing PlayStation VR. It's not about being a hit right now. it's about going through these trials and tribulations and getting ahead of the problem and getting it to a place where, holy shit, you do play a platformer and it is one for one and you don't feel that lag and it doesn't ruin the experience. It's learning the ways, the tricks that you can only do by actually getting it out there and going. And in theory, right, you're beta testing Xbox Scarlett right now with everything. You're beta testing what PlayStation 5 streaming service is going to be.
Yeah.
That's why it's there, and that's the way to figure it out. And yeah, you know, it's the talk. I don't understand. I don't have a science degree or business degree or technology degree. I don't understand. Yeah, how having something to store locally will help you get there faster on an online multiplayer portion. Maybe that's just not what this is for. Maybe it is just for playing single player games or stream. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, this is a nut everyone's been trying to crack since On Live, really, right? And yeah. On Live was 2011 when I think exactly. Scott Lowe showed it to me on an iPad.
And Tim and I were talking about, you know, the Google rumors on Gamescom too long ago. I mean, if Google comes out and just says, no, we're just going to build infrastructure in the United States and other markets to make this possible, they just will.
And the other thing about it too, right, is the fact, again, with why they're doing this and why they're working on it, blah, 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 on this technology side, to do it all so that inevitably, when somebody's like, guess what? We flipped the switch and all the satellites up there are giving you 6G Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
It's faster than what you would get if you plugged into the wall right now, or as fast. That's coming. That day is coming. Yeah. And it was mind-blowing to me once when I was in a cab with a friend from Apple and I was bitching about, Comcast and how they're fucking, and like, it's not going to matter. Like, less than a decade, Wi-Fi is going to be more as powerful as everything else and it'll just be there and you'll have it everywhere. And like, when that's the thing is we think about, oh, there's no cable infrastructure. Oh, there's no this. Oh, there's no that. Like, it's similar to cell service now that turned a corner.
Remember what, the first time you just watched a video on your phone with no buffering and no download? Yeah. Just like, wait a minute, this just works now.
Yeah, exactly.
That was not very long ago.
Then to Derek, your question, why does Sony and allegedly Microsoft keep pushing this? The same reason they push everything else. Money. Yeah. Money. They want your monthly subscription cost. If it's not monthly, they want you paying them for the games and cutting out GameStop and cutting out Walmart and cutting out Amazon. They want the pie to be split between them and, if it's first party, no one else. Yeah, but if it's other people, them and, you know, they're the developers.
It's the same reason publisher. That people want you to buy their phones or work in their ecosystems. Walled gardens are inherently more profitable. And as Yoda said, control, control. You must learn control. It's about controlling what you see, what you get, so they can sell you more of their stuff and not the other guys.
Exactly. Let's keep on this train. Andrew wrote in and said, he wrote in kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can, and says, hey, kind of funny crew. First time, long time. So Monday, Tim and the former True Champ talked about the next gen Xbox and it possibly having two versions. One that's more of a streaming device, one of which being more of a streaming device. As a PlayStation guy myself, I haven't had an Xbox or much of a reason to get one since the Xbox 360. However, with all their awesome services, consumer-first mindset, and how strong their next-gen first-party library is looking, a possible $150 console has me intrigued. Do you think this could be part of Microsoft's angle on trying to draw some of the people who have lapsed from Xbox back? Also, if this takes off, do you think Sony will follow suit and come out with their own streaming box? Thanks for everything you guys do. You're part of what keeps me sane as a full-time student, aspiring game dev, and working a 4 a.m. to 1 p.m. job. Holy shit, dude. Mm. Hang in there. Butter up that chicken and take it real slow. Andrew. Andrew, you are 100% explaining exactly what they're talking about. Cool. We've lost this install base to PlayStation on this round. Let's get there and let's have something different and cheaper and easy to get into, so that, again, as I've said, and I know I feel like I say the same four things on the show every show, the foundation Xbox has built this generation, the goodwill they have behind them, if they can come out and be like, yep, for $100 you get all of that, won't be in 4K or whatever, but who really cares?
Yeah,
to get in there and play our exclusives and have the chance, and everyone's gonna be like, yeah, of course I will.
Making something new and accessible and instantly comprehensible and affordable almost always works in games. See the Wii for more.
Exactly. Get out there, be different, and I think that's what Xbox needs right now to get ahead of it. What do you think, Sony will follow suit? Fascinating.
I'm not sure that they'll follow suit. I would be shocked if Sony doesn't have something similar, at least in a lab somewhere, and probably in their back pocket.
Yeah.
I can't see Sony being behind on this.
It's a crazy question, because I thought the Xbox stuff was so like, oh, wow, that's actually really cool and forward thinking and da da da. And I mean, I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of inside information being traded back and forth. I wonder if PlayStation's there, or if they're just like, make the PlayStation 5 more like the PlayStation 4, and let's just keep going.
Yeah.
And sure, I think PlayStation Now, if they get the downloads that we've seen the teased in the next firmware update and all that jazz, if they get that sorted out, I think streaming, again, is something they'll try with PlayStation 5 to really be a tentpole of like, yeah, you can get it, you can do this, and maybe you can use it on other devices, but I don't know. I think that Xbox, I believe this Scarlet rumor because I think it's bold enough, and that's what Xbox needs for next generation. Mm-hmm. And I don't think PlayStation will have a streaming box with PlayStation 5 or no, whatever they call their next one. I think it'll be normal PlayStation system versus Xbox's two SKUs in an ideal.
I'm not sure that'll immediately be two SKUs. I just don't think it'll be like, oh, we got to create something really quick and slap it together. I suspect that, I mean, how long ago was it they picked up Akamai now? You know, they've got to have something in mind by now.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Zero writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Greg, an esteemed co-host. I thought you guys would have good insight on this. What is the philosophy behind IGN having such short video reviews? I'm a fan of a lot of IGN content, but YouTube's gaming landscape casts such a wide net nowadays when the review day hits. I tend to click on the 12 to 15 minute reviews first, naturally, to get more information. By the time I've watched a few of those reviews, IGN's 3-minute review provides absolutely no new perspective and simply brushes over all the key points that I've already heard discussed in greater detail elsewhere. It's led me to not even click on the IGN review anymore because I know it has no value. Do you think this is something IGN is willing to fix, or does the brevity of video reviews line up with the company's overall vision? Will there come a day when I refresh YouTube and there's a big, fat, juicy IGN review waiting for me to be narrated by one of those great personalities over there that we all know and love? Thanks, KFBF0.
No, I think that IGN's hoping you'll do it in the other order. I think they're hoping you'll watch their 3-minute video, and they probably think you're more likely to watch their 3-minute video than a 15-minute review.
Yeah.
There are two things that go into this philosophically without playing too much inside baseball here.
And of course, I don't know what your relationship is nowadays, remember. Uh-huh. You know, we kind of funny all left IGN in 2015, so I haven't made an IGN review in a long time, nor have I watched one, honestly, because I just don't like my games getting spoiled that way. I'm not up to date on it, but I can only speak to what I know of working there and then what I know about the internet today, but go ahead.
I'm still pretty familiar with the IGN review process.
Okay.
Put it that way, because as I freelance for IGN.
You do freelance, yeah.
And but without going too deep inside, I think they're pretty clear about the fact that you mentioned right here, you said, you know, it simply brushes over all the key points that I've already heard discussed in greater detail elsewhere.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of it. They're hitting the key points. Generally speaking, I think IGN's review philosophy under Dan Stapleton has been pretty consistent that it's about brevity and getting right to those key points. I'm a big fan of Dan. He challenges his writers a great deal to constantly hit, why is this game good? Why is this game fun?
Yeah.
Or why is it not? Don't tell me what this is a game about. Don't describe the game in terms of its plot or its content. Tell me if it's fun. I can discover, I already know if I'm interested in this game, what it's about. He wants to cut it down to here's why you should or should not, or here's why you might want to or might not want to spend money on this product. I'm an admirer of that perspective myself. A lot of the quote unquote reviews that I watch on the internet are not necessarily reviews. They are reviews that also contain a great deal of descriptive commentary. Mm-hmm. They're much closer to what were described as magazine reviews in the mid-1980s, where it's actually, hey, here's what this game is. But if you watch like a good, succinct movie review, it actually tells you very little about the plot. You don't want to be spoiled on that. It just tells you about what's breakout and wonderful about it. And that's IGN's review perspective, which I happen to appreciate. I understand going other places if you want.
Well, here's the thing I want. I mean, like, that's the thing, Zero, is I feel like, you know, you're talking about how you gravitate towards a 12 to 15 minute video. That's where you want to be. You are the outlier. You are not the majority, right? On YouTube specifically, shorter videos generally do better, right? Because it is that thing of you can get in, you can consume it, you can go. I think of myself of, you know, I was watching some stuff beforehand to be part of a conversation, and it was like, all right, cool. I'm skipping ahead, trying to get to the point, right? It's the same thing when I was at IGN. We wrote reviews, seeing how many skipped to the bottom just to see the score.
Yeah.
People want different things out of different places, and that's where it shakes out. So that's why you're going to these 15-minute videos, but IGN's putting up 3 videos. And I'm going to say something here, right? I'll tell you, when I initially heard this years ago, And I'm working at IGN at the time, right? I am Mr. IGN. This is before even Up at Noon. Like, I'm just super, I love IGN, and I still do. Love IGN, and blah, 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 and I'm super into it. A peer in the industry, and I don't want to name names because I don't want to get it wrong. I think it was Justin McElroy. So I'm going to say it, but I think I'm going to immediately say it because I'm 90% certain it's certain it is.
Right into your kindoffunny.com slash
find Justin McElroy.
Let us know.
He said something on Twitter that made me so angry. And I didn't know him from Adam. I knew he was in the industry. Didn't know him from Adam.
McElroy?
there's so many McElroy brothers. My brother, and Adam. but it made me so angry for the longest time until I got perspective on it and understood what he was saying, really. And I think it was as IGN was changing, right? Mm-hmm. What he said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but was like, hey, IGN's the McDonald's of games journalism, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they need, and it was because something had happened. I forget what it was. And he's like, nothing wrong with that, but it's billions and billions served. And it was this thing that I think the context for me initially read as, I don't even remember what it was in reference to, but basically like, hey, this might not be the right stance for them or whatever. But the McDonald's thing stuck with me so long. I'm like, it's not fast food. I'm working in the trenches with Damon and Charles and Anthony, and I see how much they're putting into it, how much they're working on, how long it takes them. And that got me, right? But this is the perfect example of that, where what it is that it's not McDonald's in the quality or something like that. And I'm not even shitting on McDonald's food. Everybody knows McDonald's food is delicious. Exactly. What I'm saying is IGN is serving millions of different people. They need to cater to what will the majority of them like? What is the best investment of our time for our audience? And their audience, I can tell you from the metrics I was seeing back then, want brevity. They want it to be shorter. They don't. When the days of a Hillary Goldstein 10-page GTA 4 review are gone, right? Mm-hmm. The days of a Greg Miller 4-page review are gone. Like, yeah, that's not what people want out of IGN. And this is what I always say is like, this is why Zero, I always say it's the best time to be a consumer of video game opinions. Because it is, like you're describing, you can go there and get the 3-minute IGN version and then be like, you know, this sounds like a Jared game. This sounds like an Easy Allies game. Go check out those reviews to see what that personality says in 15 minutes, or in our case, an entire games cast, or in what, you know what I mean? Like, you can take the broad stroke that an IGN or a GameSpot or a tentpole.com can give you, and then apply that and go find out what a personality who would align with that to go would think. That's my take.
Yeah, I have two points to add to that.
Sure.
First, while I understand the McDonald's comparison, I think that sometimes we associate McDonald's with low quality food.
Exactly.
And that I do disagree
with. And that's what I was offended with at the time, but I don't think was the intention.
No, I don't think it was either. Yeah. But I want to make sure we get that brevity and quality often go side by side. You're a journalism student.
Yeah.
You've worked, you're an honest to God newspaperman. I mean, low word counts are generally smiled on.
Yeah.
Because if you can
get
to the point.
Yeah,
and IGN's very good at getting to the point. Second, that's not all their products. That's their reviews.
You can go to Beyond. You can go to NVC. Yeah. You can get here we're having the spoiler cast where we're talking forever.
Exactly. I've had things that I've worked on that were a few minutes long that were some of the best performing pieces I ever did. And then I had some things I had a piece that was 3 hours long. Literally 3 hours long. That was one of the best performing things I ever did. And they were intended for different audiences, and they're wise enough to understand that not everybody's going to watch everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So they try to tailor each product to that. And I think, actually, I admire that from them greatly.
No, and that's, I think was something we obviously have taken on with Kind of Funny, and you know what I mean? Yeah. Of like, Games Daily and Gamescast are in the same sphere, but we try to make those shows very different. Where Gamescast is like, here's what we've been playing, here's how this goes, here's what we did. Whereas this show is what's happening in news, and obviously it seeps in our experience. But I'm going to talk about Ghostbuster World today, and I'm super excited. You know what I mean? On Gamescast, not here.
Excellent.
Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has a good time. Today, Kevin writes in, needing help on PlayStation 4 with Rise of the Tomb Raider. His PSN name, Toaster Bunny, all one word. Kevin says, hi, Jared. I guess fuck me. Yeah. I'm looking to get the co-op trophies in Rise of the Tomb Raider on PlayStation 4 before Shadow of the Tomb Raider releases in September. I have a microphone headset to help cooperate, and I'm looking for some best friends to play with. My PSN ID is Toaster Bunny. Everybody, find Toaster Bunny. Hit him up. PSN, then Help him get those Shadow of the Tomb Raider, or no, the Rise of the Tomb Raider trophies before Shadow of the Tomb Raider drops.
Now, Greg.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a proposal here. We have a final thing here in a rotating segment. Mm-hmm. That you got. Now, in the spirit of today's show, where I read part of it and you read part of it, this stipulates angry Greg voice.
Right.
But I'd like to read an angry Jared voice.
Sure, go ahead.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, special segment we have here, new segment, Vitas.
Vitas. So this is from Joaquin, and Joaquin says in angry Greg voice, Gregory S. Miller, stop being a coward and bring those four dusty Vitas to RTX next week. I don't care if it doesn't have a charger. I want to get one from you guys and have you sign it, because even this betrayal doesn't diminish my love of Kind of Funny. By the way, are you guys planning a meet and greet for next week? Love all you do. Joaquin.
You're terrifying, Jared. But that was really good. Really good. Joaquin, sure. Okay. We'll bring the Vitas from the Vita relocation program where 2,000 of you wanted and only four of you did it because the rest of you are cowards saying you didn't want. Yo, oh, I never played my Vita. Just gather dust. Send it dust. Nobody did. There you go. Great idea. Cowards. Fine. We'll bring them. And then are we doing a meet and greet next week? Joey!
Oh,
the sirens are on our sirens, yeah, sirens are on our end.
Yes, sir.
What? So RTX next week. Yeah. We're doing the Kind of Funny panel. Yeah. We're doing the RTX doc. Jesus, are they coming into the house with the fucking thing? We're doing the RTX. We're going to start promoting this. Oh, fuck. We should really start doing this since we're not here next week. Yeah. We'll start promoting it tomorrow. Well, good. Nobody tells me. Kindoffunny.com/RTX says everything. Is there a meet and greet or is it just the signing? Just the signing is the meet and greet. Come there. Yeah, okay, cool. But I'll have the Vitas on me if you want to come get them that way. All right, thank you very much.
Under the cup.
Oh, there we go. So, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Greg Miller, I always enjoy hosting with you. It was fun taking over Widow Wednesday.
Widow Wednesday.
But he'll be back tomorrow.
He will be.
Uh-huh. So, what do we got here for
you,
Ron?
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, the people watching on twitch.tv/... Kind of Funny Games. Keep us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and telling us what we screw up as we screw it up. So, we go right now to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to see what we got wrong.
All right.
So that then it can be corrected for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Bunch of bullshit. People trying to be cute. Ignacio's trying to be cute. Fuck you. Kebabs is trying to be cute. Fuck you. As he's trying to tell me how the Game Awards runs Game of the Year, we don't give a shit. We're Kind of Funny. I mean, when we vote for Game Awards, it'll be different. But right now, I don't. No, we know that. Oh, no. I mean,
we got.
No, I'm not worried about that one. Oh, here we go. Skateboard says, Greg, cursory isn't a word. You mean cursory? I do.
Yep. Jesus fucking Christ.
Is someone laying down on the tracks? Help me out, San Francisco.
Kind of easy wants to debate stuff. Actually laying down on the tracks.
Get out of there. Okay. Tyler, Dante the Clerk says, you missed the release of Paladins as free to play on Switch. Oh. You no longer need to buy the starter pack. That's a good one.
That's good to know.
Shredberg says, you missed two important new dates. Picross S2 is coming to the Switch on August 2nd. And most importantly, you missed Nickelodeon Kart Racer coming out October 23rd, where you can race as fucking Reptar among other Nick characters from 12 different franchises.
Okay, I'm actually into that.
SpongeBob, Rugrats, Hey Arnold, and TMT are the first announced. Fuck, that does sound awesome.
Can I be Quail Man?
I mean, Doug's in. No, they didn't say Doug is in there. We'll see. Well, Doug is a lost up in that Disney thing. Remember when
Doug. Oh, that's right.
Doug There's jumped over to Disney?
Thing.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Oh
my gosh, man! Can I be Alanis Morissette from You Can't Do That on Television?
I sincerely doubt it.
Oh man, you were talking about installing lockers in here just so we could do locker gags.
Yeah, I know, it'd be awesome.
I love that.
A lot of people are saying you're wrong. Diddy Kong is awesome.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's just like your opinion, man.
Holy fuck!
What's that? Someone very angry about Diddy Kong?
Kyle literally says it is. Oh, it is indeed not Jodie Foster in Remothered, but it is Danielle McRae, most known for her role in the critically acclaimed 2009 movie Metal Gear Solid Philanthropy. Okay.
All right. There we are. Is that real?
I don't know. Who the hell knows? They just write it in. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get that part.
Yeah, it was someone else. It's not Jodie Foster.
Oh, that part. Yeah, that part we got for sure.
All right. Diddy Kong's awful. Diddy Kong is a bunion on the butt of humanity.
Okay. Lord of Pwned says Gaikai was acquired by Sony in 2012. I guess we got that wrong. Yeah. I asked when On Live started. They told me when it closed at one point.
I did it. I knew it was a long time ago. I also said it wrong, I think. I said Akmai, I think.
Meh, whatever, man. Yeah, and Doug is still aired on Nickelodeon networks, according to Easy. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Tomorrow, Gary Whittle will join me. You already know the things. Twitch.tv/KindofFunnyGames. YouTube.com/KindofFunnyGames. Podcast services around the globe. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.